Hi, I'm Juan Galloway.
And I'm Tracy Galloway.
Welcome to our podcast, 36 Questions.
This is an unscripted show where we candidly and spontaneously answer 36 questions that lead to love.
These 36 questions were invented by psychologist Arthur Aaron, who created this exercise to help people be vulnerable in order to foster closeness and intimacy.
We have been married since 1992 and have four awesome grown children together. We have both been in Christian leadership for over 30 years. We have been youth pastors, church planters, lead pastors, ministry school directors, nonprofit leaders, and are now missionaries.
Yes, we are missionaries with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, the largest missions organization in the world, and are following our call to know God and make Him known to the nations.
You know, our hope is that as we dig deep into each other's lives, that you will be inspired to do the same.
Let's dive in. Okay, so we are on question 34. Three more to go.
I was about to say one more because 35 is 36 questions. That's how tired I am. I'm like, isn't it one more? So this one and then two more.
Right.
So you're saying three including this one.
You got it.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, Mambo.
Yes.
Your house containing everything you own catches fire.
This is hilarious since we have no house and we don't own anything. But go ahead.
After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be?
This is so easy.
And why?
Okay, this is so easy because in 2020, within 2 weeks, we got rid of almost everything we owned, minus two large suitcases and two carry-ons, which now we've downsized to two carry-ons.
Right.
We did put a few things in storage, though, at our friend Heather and James Kohler's place. Thanks, Heather and James.
We appreciate it.
We thought it would be temporary, but here we are, year three. We still don't have a home.
Well, now, should we answer this question like a normal person? Okay. Like, if we were in our house and all our stuff was there, what would we
I feel like
save?
We've already done that because we saved, you know, what we would save if it was like an emergency. And I feel like it was like, oh my gosh, we have to move immediately, unexpectedly, kind of. So it was like, So we kind of did that already. So I have an answer because my answer is what I saved.
All right.
So I'll go first.
Okay. What one item?
What I saved.
Just one item. What
just
would it be?
One item.
And why?
Okay. So thankfully, the year prior to us leaving, I took all of our photos that were loose. Actually, I took them out of all of our photo albums to create one huge, massive, big, mighty photo album. And then I realized I needed two big, huge, massive photo albums. It was so big. You think they'd all fit in one, but it actually was two because we have a large family. So there's more photos than if we had a small family. We've done a lot of exciting things. So there's pictures. Anyway, I guess I can only save one of them, but I would say they come as a package deal. So maybe I could grab both because they'd be sitting together and I would grab the photo albums.
We'll call that one item.
Yeah. And the reason why is because we're so old, back in the old days, there was no digital cloud photos of our kids. It's only in the photo albums. That's it. So like most people whose house is burning down, I would think you would grab your photo albums. That would be my thought. That's what I did. That's what we saved. Like, most of what we saved was photo albums.
Okay. So, all right. So that's if we had all our stuff in a house, a normal house. What about right now? If all the stuff you have right now and our place that we're in right now was burning down, what's the one item you would grab?
That's a funny question, actually.
There's not much to choose from.
We literally have one carry-on and one backpack. So is there anything in there that I would want to grab? Hmm. I guess it's a toss-up between my computer and my cell phone, so that way I can, 'cause I usually hate carrying a cell phone. I don't like using a cell phone, but my computer, I can work on it. And then you always have, I'm thinking if you grabbed your cell phone, I'd grab my computer. So at least we could have a computer and a cell phone. But you could always replace that. Oh, I know what I'd grab.
Okay.
I'd grab Connor.
He's not a thing. This is a thing.
But he's with us
It's
this
no,
summer.
but it says if you got everybody and the pets out.
Oh, okay. We don't have.
Yeah, everybody's safe. Okay, your loved ones and pets are out. So you're saying between your laptop and your phone, you would get.
Or maybe my medicine?
You can get some more medicine.
Oh, okay. I don't even have much. I just have like thyroid medicine.
This is not a hard question. We're not solving
I think I wouldn't grab anything because everything I have could be replaced. It doesn't
That's
matter.
not the
Okay, you answer
You're
then.
breaking the
Hey, I think I came up with a lot of different answers here. Off the cuff, I came up with so many
Okay,
options.
so the photo album if you had a house, and if
And if
not, your
not,
medicine.
no, if not, I guess I'd grab my phone or my computer or something like that.
Let's just get the one that costs the most. That way, we won't lose much money.
So the computer then, because the phone was free, like all my phones have always been free.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill Hoffman, for passing that
Okay.
phone on
All
to
right,
me.
cool. So now we know. We solved that mystery.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have a book
Yeah, now we're going to talk
recommend.
about our book of the week. As always, we're reading lots of books, and Mambo and I read a lot of books together,
We
actually.
do. It's part of our Devo time. Usually we try to read one chapter each morning when we do Devos, though we haven't been doing Devos this past week. I don't know why. What's wrong with us?
We worked late pretty much every night. We
It's
got to bed
true. We're getting
late,
in like at
so
10,
then we woke up late,
and then we have
and
to
then
go
went
to
right into
work.
meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
But that's
were.
bad. We need to do our Devos. I don't even know if I can handle getting up to do Devos tomorrow because we're going out to speak again.
Yeah, I
We
know.
need to have time with the Lord. Maybe we can do it tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe we'll just do it in our podcast. We'll make it extra long.
Yeah, they really want to listen to you read a
Well,
whole
anyway,
chapter of this
here's the book of the
book.
week. All right? It's The Awe of God, The Astounding Way a Healthy Fear of God Transforms Your Life by John Bevere.
And we've recommended John Lee Supervier quite a few times throughout our many podcasts.
What, Bait of Satan? I think we
Yeah.
recommended that.
And she has, what's Godmothers or something like that. There's lots of different books they've written.
Right.
I
And
really like how they just kind of, they give it to you straight, you know?
yeah, they are not the beat around the bush. They're super sensitive,
They're not gonna
touchy feely.
soft serve you anything. They're gonna like pow right between the eyes.
A good way, you know what I mean? They're not harsh at
No.
all, but they're like, yeah, ooh. That was a good one. It's that kind of preaching.
I just want someone who's gonna give it to me straight. I don't want any BS. I want the truth.
Don't want any baby shoes.
No baby shoes.
Now, yeah, and I'm sure we said in the past, but John Bevere, he's a famous author and evangelist and all that, but he used to be the guy who used to speak at our summer camps when we were teenagers.
Yeah, he worked at our church actually. And he would have lunch with me when I was a counselor at his camps, and he gave me a lot of recommendation for my life that actually some big decisions in my life. He helped make me make some of those decisions and babysat their boys during summer camp. And Lisa prayed for me and spoke over
I'm sure
me.
we
And
talked about them before. I can't remember all those
yeah, I'm sure we
podcasts.
have.
He's
Anyway.
got a new book out. Oh, and they also have a cool app. I just want to say this too.
Oh, I highly recommend this app. If you,
Messenger X. Sounds
yeah,
so Marvel.
sounds kind of dirty, I thought.
Oh, I thought it sounded like Marvel or X-Men.
Really?
Like Messenger
Well,
X.
their kids are now grown and they do this whole thing called like sons and daughters, and it's awesome. It's all about being a young person following God, anything from dating to everything else. Anyway, they created this app with them, and so they've written so many books. There's ways that you can, it's, you know, if you're not a book reader, and I know a lot of
people are not
are not nowadays, it's sort of like 10-minute clips where you can kind of get the whole gist of the book. Gist of the book in different ways and formats.
Like the topic, they'll be speaking on it instead of, you know, reading the book.
It's not an audio book. Not just speaking, they might be sharing in a living room or interacting with others, right, or like all different kinds of stuff.
It's kind of cutting edge, like the delivery system of the app, basically.
Yeah, I would say Messenger X app is one of the most current ways that Christians can communicate.
Yeah.
And so if you are a communicator in any venue, I would suggest getting this app, seeing what they're doing, and copy it, because it's really cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can find the book on the app too, like buy books through the app. They still sell books, but
yeah.
This one is called The Awe of God, The Astounding Way a Healthy Fear of God Transforms Your Life.
Right.
I have been thinking about this topic for the last 2 or 3 years, uh-huh, a lot.
Yeah.
The fear of God.
You were thinking of writing a book on the fear of God,
yes,
yourself. You've been sort of collecting information. I know you're working on another book right now on leadership, but this is one that's been in the pike, right?
Yeah, the pipeline.
The pipeline.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll do it for sure, but I've just been fascinated with this subject. And I had a few things from, man, I hear some sort of squealing out in the street.
Yeah.
We're in the city, you guys.
Yeah, we're in the city.
I hope you don't hear that annoying sound.
I was thinking it was someone's cooking and their fire alarm's going off.
I have no idea.
Anyway, if you hear that, just ignore it.
We're sorry.
Yeah, too bad. Just keep going.
So here's what John Bevere says in his book. A couple things. He said the Barna Group, which is a research group, reported that more than 40 million Americans departed from the faith from the years 2000 to 2020. In 20 years, 40 million Americans left their faith. Do you hear what I'm saying there? That's talk.
Wait. 40 million?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That people do not realize, normal Christians who are just going to church and following the Lord, they don't realize our country is going zoosh, like on a hockey skate.
Wait, what year was this?
To hell. Like, it's crazy.
What year was this?
This book was just written. And when did the Barna Group do this research? I don't have that information right here, but
okay,
it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
I do remember that.
All right.
So this is happening super fast.
Mm.
People are running away from truth and God, mm-hmm, and the Bible, mm-hmm, like crazy fast. Okay, mm, we're getting, I mean, I think we're already a post-Christian country,
mm-hmm,
but it's happening faster. It's accelerating.
Right.
Okay? Sorry, our phone's just ding. Anyway, so here's why this is so important, this book.
Okay. Why?
It's talking about holy fear. Because, you know, when you talk about the fear of God, it sounds like, oh, are you scared of God because he's mean or,
oh,
you know, whatever. No.
Yeah, no, that's not what it's about.
He's talking about holy fear,
right?
All right? And it's not being scared of God. It's actually almost being afraid of drawing apart from God or creating distance with God.
Right.
It's the opposite, right? And a couple things he said in the Psalms 25:14, it says, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. So in other words, if we fear God, then we're close to him. We're intimate.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like you have this incredible honor and respect and healthy concern that if I separate from God, things are going to go really bad for me.
This reminds me of, I've known a passive dad or two in my day. And the passive dad is someone who has a kid who's maybe not special needs and will just punch them in the face or hit them or bite and scream.
You're saying the kid hits the dad, not
right,
the dad, the kid.
Right. Right. The kid is just beating up on the dad and the dad's like, stop that. You know what I mean?
The kid's out of control.
The kid's out of control, running around screaming, acting crazy. And of course, I understand as parents, all of our kids act crazy sometimes.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Mean like consistent, crazy, obnoxious, rude, ridiculous behavior. And the dad is just like, okay, stop that. And then they don't stop. Oh, stop that. And they don't stop. Oh, okay. So,
We've all known people like this, right?
oh,
I think
drives me
so. It's
crazy.
like, what's going on here? The inmates are running the asylum
It's
here.
like, who's the dad or the mom and dad? There's no parent here. Anyway, point being, versus the dad who the child, you know, the dad's like, okay, it's time to go now. And the child is like, yes, father. Is like, okay, dad, sure. And is like, goes, right? Because they have a respect and honor for their dad. And so I think about this with our relationship with God, that some people just are completely out of control in their lives, and it's because they have no respect for their father in heaven. And they don't listen to him, they don't care what he has to say, and they just run the show and they act a fool. Really, literally. And then there's other people who, you know, respect their dad. They've learned from their dad. They listen to their dad. They're honoring. They're respectful. They're kind. I think of our sons, how they're so like honoring and respectful, not just of us, but of others. Like someone will talk to them and they're like, "Oh yes, nice to meet you. So thank you very much." Like they're very well spoken
Yeah,
when it
they're very
comes,
honoring of
very honoring
people.
and kind to
They have good
people,
manners.
good manners, you know. And it's because I feel like they fear. I mean, even when I walk in the room, they'll step straight. Like they'll put their shoulders back because they know I want them to sit up straight. And I know I'm not the dad, I'm the mom, but still, it's kind of like they're honoring, they're fearful of me. Not that they're afraid of me, but that they honor me enough to be like, oh, I'm gonna put my shoulders back because I know my mom likes that and I want to honor her in that way. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's like they want to please you because they love you. And fearing God is loving God. It's like, I care about what you care about. I love you so much that what you care about matters way more than even what I care about. And it's in John Bevere's book, he said, the person who fears God doesn't say within themselves, how close can I get to the line of sin and not fall in? No, he or she says, I want to be so close to God and so far away from that line, I can't even see it. It's like a driving passion, you know? But check this out, and this is where this really brings it home. He says, as already stated, our holy fear grows proportionately to our comprehension of God's glory. The antithesis is also true. We will diminish his greatness, even to the point of human limitations, the less we fear him. So, this is what I've been seeing and why people are running away from God. They have no fear of God. They're like, well, how does it make me feel? That's what really
Oh,
matters.
yeah, following their
And so they
feelings.
diminish then how big God is in their life. Like, oh, well, he's cool with whatever I want. Really? What God are you talking
It's
about?
not the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a God you made up, just so you
So
know.
they don't respect that kind of God that's just like them, only maybe not even as good as them.
Well, then they're God. If God's doing everything they want, who's God? Right? If God is like, if God thinks and acts just like you do, well, maybe there's a problem. So let's just start there. Because the Bible says, he says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so I find myself regularly disagreeing, like, ah, oh, I can't, oh, it's so hard, or oh, I can't do that, or oh, it's so hard. But it's part of conforming my will to his. Like, I'm a natural born liar. Do you know this about me?
I know that you grew up with a, you honed that skill as a
I
child.
honed my lying skills as a child. I was so good at lying. Like, I could really sell it. Like, I could do it. And it took me years to kind of get over doing that when I became a Christian at 13, but still. So I started young, lying at a very young age. But I could lie pretty easily. And that's why I'm so bad about playing games, board games, because I could just lie
You're a cheater.
and cheat. And but then I say so I it's it just comes so naturally to me to lie. So I'll lie about it and then I'll say immediately after, oh, I was lying, you know, and I'll go back or I'll try to cheat on Scrabble and then you'll be like, that's not a word. I'm like, ah, I know, you know.
Keeps the fun game exciting. Wait a second. You're making stuff
I
up.
mean, I don't lie like
Yeah.
norm. I'm not a liar
Right.
now. I don't lie,
Right.
but it's easy for me to. But because I have the fear of God, if I do start to be tempted to lie, I immediately confess it or come public with it or stop it. Like, I'm not going to lie. And so I feel like lying is such a big part of sin, that when people sin, they tend to lie to the people they love or people around them. And I think that's such a sign of not fearing God.
Well, they start twisting reality. Because if you, I mean, that's just what you're going to do. You're going to fool others and try to fool yourself even, because.
It's true. You start to believe your own lie. You do. Or you might say the same lie so many times, you really start to believe your own lie, which is self-deception. Right.
Right. And Christians do that. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that. And then eventually it's like, yeah, you lose respect for this God you made up and this version of God you made up. And so you really just drift away and you just quit even pretending. You're like, yeah. Right. I'm sure God's just cool with whatever I do, so I'm just not going to bother trying anymore.
Yeah, it starts with kind of pretending, and then it goes into, I'm tired of pretending, and then you just leave the Lord.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
Yeah, so it's called drift, mission drift, or the frog in the kettle. Like, if you put a frog in a hot pot, it'll jump out, but if you just turn up the heat slowly, 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 it'll burn.
It'll boil to death.
And this is what happens. So I think this Awe of God book is coming at a very good, timely time.
Crucial.
So many people are leaving the Word of God. They're leaving the Bible. They're deciding the Old Testament isn't relevant.
Not true.
Even though Jesus quotes the Old Testament regularly as the Word of God. So,
and even though the Old Testament basically prophesies and sets up everything for thousands of years leading up to Jesus, the Messiah, coming forth. It's right. Like you can't cut out half the Bible.
Right. Right. And I think that's, you know, and we're kind of going off on this book,
but that's true.
This is why I teach women in ministry leadership, is because people have taken the verses about women in ministry, and that those verses are the reason they give for why sexual fornication is okay. And so they attach women preaching with sexual fornication as being the same topic, which drives me crazy, because a woman who loves the Lord, is following God with all of her heart, and ministering is not the same as somebody who's living in sexual sin. And to compare the two is quite insulting. But anyway, point being, the reason why I teach this is in the original language about women ministering, what it really means in the original language, the difficult passages are, because I don't want those passages that have been misinterpreted when they're in English or German or Spanish. But if you look at the original Greek, it makes perfect sense. They're totally pro women preaching and ministry. They use, because people would say, oh, well, it says this about women. So therefore,
and we don't
practice that. So therefore, we can do whatever we want sexually, because we're not listening to, like, if we're not going to listen to this about women, we don't need to listen to anything. And so I have to teach them, no, actually what the Bible says is true and right. When you look at the original language, in all areas, sexually, about women, about everything.
Yeah.
And so, and that's why we follow it.
Yeah. And just to wrap this up on this book, there's a passage or a section we were reading and really digging into and praying into recently. And here's what he says. He says, the fear of the Lord keeps us in touch with our heart motives, which is critically important, for the lack thereof leaves us vulnerable to the deception of hypocrisy. Like, for example, we're in ministry.
Yeah.
So we were asking ourselves, what's my heart motivation when I'm teaching, preaching the Bible? Is it so people think I'm smart and I feel cool?
Right.
Is it so
people will like me? Is it so I could be famous?
I can approve of myself?
Right, right. What's your motive?
Yeah. And so we were praying about that and listening. We literally, I remember let's take 5 minutes and just listen to the Holy Spirit, each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And is the Lord going to convict us about anything that we've done or said that it had mixed motives, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the fear of God. You suggested it. And I was like, oh, that's good. Because that's an indicator of the fear of God. Am I willing to examine myself by the measure and standard of the scripture, not myself,
right,
as the standard? So that's why this book is so good. We all need to test our heart's motives, because hey, we can be carnal,
right? And what's that verse, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, the Bible says. And so I think that's a good practice to do regularly. And so if you're the listener, I don't know if you're gonna get the Messenger X app or you're gonna read the Awe of God, but if you're not gonna do either of those, at least do this. Say, God, search my heart and show me if there's any wicked way in me. If there's anything in me that is against you or leading me away from you, or my motives are not pure. And see what he shows you.
Yeah.
And then don't just ignore what he says, because that's not fearing God. Fearing God is when he shows you, you better get that right. You really should, because it can mean the difference between life and death. And that's the truth.
Yeah, because we don't want to be the frog in the kettle. You know, because it's like that verse that says, oh, you did miracles. Oh, you prophesied. But you get to heaven and he goes, I don't know you. Yeah. So have the outer looking like, mm-hmm. oh, we fear God. We're so close to God. But inside, mm-hmm. it's all about us.
Right.
In fact, God is convicting us. God is speaking to us, but we're saying no. We're being disobedient. That is totally possible.
Yeah. I think a danger thing is also be like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Especially like, with today's world.
Yeah, it's all social media, selfie world, look at me, look at me. And getting attention for ourselves when really we need to be saying, look to him, look to him, look to him. Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life.
So let's head back to the question.
Okay.
You answered the question, so it's my turn.
This question's funny for us.
Anyway, yeah, I know.
But again, we do these questions so that you can use these questions with the people you love and you know. And maybe this would be a fun question to ask around the dinner table or next time we're getting together with some friends.
Okay, so question 34 says, your house containing everything you own catches fire. After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make a final dash to save only one item. What would that be and why? This is so easy for me because this has actually happened.
It's
almost.
In?
Almost.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
We were
telling the story.
Early marriage, within, I think it was the second year of marriage.
Right.
And we were living in a temporary house, renting a bedroom in a house in Southern California in Pasadena.
Yes.
And we both got temp jobs at some trucking company. Anyway, we had to get up real early in the dark and drive 45 minutes in traffic.
Or to miss most of the traffic, really. We'd leave really early.
Yeah, and so we walk outside. It's pitch black, but we look up on the mountain, the hills behind us, and it looks like a volcano because there's a line of lava coming down from the top of the mountain flowing down.
To our neighborhood! Like right there in front of us. And I'm like, a volcano is erupting and there's lava coming. Oh my God.
It's exactly what it looked like.
It was crazy. It was like 5:30 in the morning, right?
Yeah, it was really early. But then we kept looking. We're like, well, that doesn't make sense. We know there's no volcanoes
yeah,
in
there's
Southern
no
California.
That's not a volcano, is it? So we run inside and we turn on the news. Because, you know, I guess it was still coming. I don't know. I guess I felt like I had time.
Well, anyway.
I don't know what
it
I
turned
thought.
Out. It was wildfires sweeping through the foothills. It happens every couple of years, I think, in California. It's so dry. And it was a line of fire moving across the hill, but it looked like a, you know, lava. Anyway.
So we saw it on the news, and there's smoke everywhere. I mean, it was smoking up, and everyone, they were evacuating the neighborhood.
Yes, and there was burning ashes. Then the sun finally came out. There's burning ashes falling from the sky all
right.
around us.
Right. And so we had to pack up our car. So we couldn't just do one mad dash. I mean, we actually went back and forth three or four times.
Well, we had a small car. We put in some stuff, but not that much.
Yeah.
Back seats worth. Right?
Yeah. Put in a few things and got in the car and peeled out and left. And I think over 300 homes burned in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the home we were staying in didn't. It was our friend Ken's house.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful it's still intact. And he still lives there today with his beautiful wife, Kari, and their kids. But point being,
So what did I get?
Yeah, what did you get?
Because I didn't know if I'd come back and the house was burned down after work.
Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for the past, I don't know, how many, 34 episodes?
Yeah.
I bet you can guess what he grabbed.
I grabbed my guitar. Actually, I had a couple guitars, an electric, an acoustic, and a bass. Anyway, but if it happened to me today with our stuff we own right now, I'd grab my guitar that I take with us everywhere, my acoustic guitar. It's really nice. I play it all the time. I write songs. I play it, lead worship. Mm-hmm. So I definitely...
You're going to be leading worship tomorrow in Spanish here
That's
in
right.
Spain.
That's right.
So yeah.
Yes.
I can
So
see you getting that. That
yeah.
makes
So
sense.
I would
But you
get.
wait, you would let's say your phone and your computer are
Yeah.
here. You would grab your guitar over your phone? I don't know if you'd do that, 'cause I think you'd think you need your phone to be able to.
Okay, I would get my guitar. Here's why. Okay.
Why?
This phone is just like every iPhone on Earth. I could go to the store and get the exact same one
Yeah.
and download everything from the cloud. Nothing lost. Okay?
Okay,
It's expensive, obviously. Yes.
sure.
My guitar is actually more expensive than the phone.
Yeah, and I think you got this phone for free, didn't you?
Oh, I got it cheap. Really
Oh, okay.
cheap. Like,
Yeah,
super cheap.
we usually get hand-me-down phones.
Anyway, but my guitar, I have it set up specially just the way the style that I play, the way I play, and it's not just some guitar you could go get for $100. It's, I've been playing my
Special.
whole life, 30 something years,
I
right?
think everyone knows because you talk about playing
I
music, I
do?
think, on every single
Really?
episode.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't
You
realize.
know, when I married you, I don't think I knew. I don't think I knew the level of our life that music would encompass between playing music all day, every day. I mean, like playing on your phone or on Spotify or iTunes
Right.
or on the speaker or in the car or playing music, practicing music, writing music, talking about music, reading magazines on music. It's like,
It's nonstop.
it's quite a lot, quite a lot. But I am grateful that it's not football, that you're not watching sports on TV. I think I'd prefer what you're doing. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, so, well, everything has something you're interested in and nerds out on,
I
and
don't, what am I interested in? I don't really have anything.
you.
I bet you can't guess because I have no idea. I'm not interested in anything. I'm interested in you.
You're interested in new experiences and exploration.
I do like to explore.
Yeah, so you're always, taking us to new places, which I enjoy.
Which reminds me, in 4 nights we have nowhere to live for 3 days.
So you gotta
So
book us a place to
I have
stay
to find a place for us to be because we have
before
no
we
home.
fly
In a
to
few
Romania.
days, we have no home. Yeah, before we go to Romania, we're going to be working with refugees. But that's for another episode. Two more to go. We're almost there.
Yes, and then we can start our new podcast.
Yes.
There's a little teaser. Psst, there's a new one coming.
We're going to start a new one. That's right. And we're still working on a title or what it's going to be about. If you have any suggestions, feel free to let us know. We're open. But we have a few ideas in our heart.
So from Spain, we're signing off and saying, Hasta luego, amigos.
Adios.